All right. Let's see. Who remembers? I think Dan will remember. What did we talk about last week? Prayers, right. Last week, Cotinus talked about prayers, to pray with faith, to pray with expectancy. And today I'm going to continue on the topic of prayers, because I believe that, you know, prayer is so fundamental, it's so important. I believe that just like, you know, eating fill and nourish your body, you know, prayer will fill and nourish your soul. So that's why we want to focus on the topic of prayers. And my theme for today, it's called Prayers Finding the Father's Embrace. Now let's continue with the reading for today. And let's just read this together. It's not long, so let's just read it together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." So I would invite everyone today, you know, more than just to listen, but to really humble yourself and to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because I know in one sense, you know, probably most or not all of you prays. You know, maybe you pray in the morning. And I think we pray before we start the Sunday service. In some sense, you know, prayer is easy, prayer is simple. You know, even little children can do it, right? Like Kylie can do it. Peter can do it. You know, it's not something that's so difficult, but sometimes we take it for granted and we forgot that in prayers, there's some depth to it. There is a richness that you can enter into in prayers. And my hope today is that you will not be stuck like me, because for so many years, prayer has been three things for me. You know, my prayer life has been like three prayers. It's good morning, God. Thank you, God, for the meal. And good night, God. You know, all over the years, I mean, my parents taught me to pray, and all over the years, that is all my prayers about. You know, when you wake up and you, if I'm not waking up late, then I'll, "Oh, thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, I can sleep," and that's it. Bye-bye. And then, you know, and in during meal, you'll say, "Oh, thank you, God, for this meal. Amen." And sometimes you even forget if you have prayed. I don't know if that happens to you. Sometimes you just pray too quickly, and then you chat, and then you're like, "If I pray, okay, let me just pray again, just in case." And then the last thing is just, you know, before I sleep, it's just like, "Oh, okay, thank you, God, good night." But that is not all what prayer is. And I think the disciples, you know, when they asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," you know, the disciples are not people who doesn't know how to pray. If you study the Jew people, the Jewish people, in fact, since little children, they've been taught how to pray. You know, they have to pray the Shema three times a day, and there's still a lot of other ritual or optional prayers that they need to do every day. So it's not like the disciple doesn't know how to pray, but then I think they knew in some sense there is something special, there's something powerful, there's something beautiful in the way Jesus pray. And that's why they come to Jesus and ask him, "Lord, teach us to pray." So the first thing that I want to, you know, it's a misconception that I want to remove, is that prayer is only for the pastors or for some worship leaders or the chege leaders, or, you know, prayer is something that, "Oh, you're born with the ability to pray. That's good." For me, prayer is just, yeah, this is it. I mean, thank God for the meal is good enough for me. You know, sometimes we think that only prayer from pastors can bring deliverance. Only prayers from your chege leaders is worthy. But I think that is not the case, because I truly believe that prayer is for everyone. You know, it's not just for the pastors. It's for you, for each one of us. I mean, even little children can pray for their parents. And let's not, you know, confine yourself with this thought that, "Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's just me. I mean, maybe I don't have the skill to pray." So that is something that I want to correct in our thoughts. Because sometimes when you see your pastors or when you see your chege leaders pray, it can be intimidating. Like, "Oh man, he can pray like that. And my prayer is so, you know, like this level, and his prayer is that level. I think prayer is just not for me," or things like that. You know, that is not true, because, I mean, I come from that level, right? I come from that place where prayer is just good night, God, good morning, God, and thank you, God, for the meal. But then over the years, as I learn, as I practice, I understand there's depth in the prayers, right? Oftentimes, we are stuck with this idea that prayer is asking God of what we need. You know, you come to God when you need something, and that is all prayer is about. Amen. Thank you. That's my baby there. Amen. But prayer is so much more than that, because in prayers, you're invited to, you know, to talk with God, to converse with God, and to have intimacy with God. And when you just pray to, when you need something, then you're missing out on what prayer can truly be. You know, God give his presence in us during prayers, and we just ignore it. We just don't want to know about it. And all we do is just, I need this, God, help me in this. Oh, God, I'm screwed. Please help me doing this. And so I would invite everyone today to rethink and to recommit yourself to prayers and have the willingness to learn more about what a prayer can be and how powerful is prayers. And the second thing that I guess bothering me in the past is this. Sometimes I only pray when all the condition is right. You know, when all things are perfect, then I'll pray. You know, maybe for some of you, I'll pray when I've come to Sunday service. I'll only pray if I've read enough of the Bible. I'll only pray when things are nice, when my heart wants to pray, then I'll pray. I will only pray if, you know, it's the all the kids has been put asleep and, you know, the room is quiet and I put a candle and then a background music soothing, and then I will pray because the condition is right. But I think you don't have to wait to pray. I mean, you can pray whenever you want. For me in the past, because of the way I see prayers, I only pray when I haven't sinned big enough. You know, some of you know that in the past I'm struggling with pornography, right? So if I haven't watched or do things related to it, then yeah, I will pray because I feel like I've been a good boy and I think I'm worthy to come to prayers. But then when I sin, when I fall to temptation, that's when I run away because I feel like I'm not worthy. Because I feel like I don't have things to present to God. Because the way I pray in the past is like this. God, this is what I've done, blah, 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 blah. I've been a good boy. I have a good grades. I've studied as a good student. I obey my parents, blah, blah, blah. And here's my wish list. And because I've done this thing, then I expect that you will, you know, do your part and grant my wish. And that's why when I sin, I don't pray because I don't have anything on the table. So I cannot expect God to do anything on his side. And when I sin, I will run away because, no, I have nothing. But I think that is not the right attitude in prayers. I think, in fact, I guess learning this from little children, it's when the little, you know, if you see kids running and falling, that's when they will come back and run away and come back to their parents. But us, with our pride, when we fall, we say, oh, no, let me fix my life. Let me have my life in order. Then I will pray. Which I think it's the other way around. Because it's when we fall that we need to come to God even more. So, again, prayer is not coming to an audition. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to perform well before you can, you know, present your prayers to God. I think you just come to prayers with who you are in your situation, in your brokenness, in your struggle, and let God be God. And if we continue on in our reading today, so this is after the disciple asked Jesus, right? Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, okay, then pray like this. Our Father who are in heaven, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. The first thing that's different from the way I pray is that when Jesus pray, he start with God. When I pray, I start with myself. When I pray, I always start, God, here is my problem, here is my worry, please help me doing this, God, this is what I want, can you grant me this wish? It's all about me. When I pray, it all revolves around me and my needs and my hopes. And oftentimes, it looks like this, right? we come to God with our worry, and then we keep piling up our worry and keep telling God, God, this is bad, this is worse, it's just getting nowhere, and then it becomes heavier and heavier, and as our faith shrinks, God looks smaller, and it seems like our problem is too big for God, and we start questioning, God, can you really deliver me from this? Can you really help me in these problems? And that's why when Jesus taught how to pray, he started with God, because when you start with God, when you acknowledge who God truly is, then I think these pictures will do more justice. I think even this picture doesn't show how big and how capable God is. Amen? Because God is, you know, the creator of all there is, the heaven and the earth, the galaxy. You know, we are so small compared to God. And yet, oftentimes, the way we see our life, the way we see God is that such as God is just like a token of superstition, right? Like, oh, this rock, you know, can you please do this? Can you please help me doing this? But God is much greater than that. And it's when you come to prayer, acknowledging God for who God is, then you will realize who you are and what God is capable of. Because oftentimes, when I start with God, I'm also reminded of how faithful he is. You know, I've been a Christian for years, and God has been faithful to me. God has shown his miracle in my life. God has helped me in so many ways. But when I start with all my worry, I forget about all these things that God has done. But when I start with God, I was reminded of what God has done throughout the years in my life, and of his power, of his love. And my circumstances might not change, but my confidence, my faith is strengthened. And I know that if God has done that in the past, he can do it again in the future. He can do it again this time. And that's why I think it's very important for us to correct our lens, right? And oftentimes, you know, when we start with our worry, all we care about is deliverance. All we care about is, God, please take away this problem. Please save me from that. Please save me from this. But what if God has a purpose in your difficult life? Let me ask, what picture is this? Aaron, what do you see in the picture? Yes, what is it? Yes, it's a, you know, in one sense, it's a rabbit. In another sense, it's a duck, right? What I'm trying to say is that when we are occupied with our worry, it's like we're complaining to God, God, I don't want this duck. You know, I don't want this duck as my pet. It's ugly, you know, it's quacking, quack, 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 quack. You know, maybe I should just make it into duck fried rice, right? We complain to God. We keep, God, just take this duck away. It's noisy. It's dirty. It's walk over the swamp and blah, 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 blah. And then at the same time, God is, you know, if only you can see that it's a rabbit. You know, I don't, this challenge in your life, this suffering that you go through, you know, it has meaning. It has purpose. And if only you can come to me and let me tell you what it is that I want to accomplish in your life. What is that I want to give to you through this challenge? And that's why when we come to God, let's come with praise, we come with adoration. Let's praise God for who he is, because in that way our eyes will not be clouded, our perspective will not be distorted, and we'll be able to see what God wants in your life. Amen. So the next thing is that he start with our Father. I'm not sure about you, but in the past I've wondered, like, when I pray, does God listen? I mean, who am I praying to? Where is God? Does he even listen to me? Then Jesus taught us that God is a Father. You know, and being a father myself, I understand that a father listens to their son, to the daughters. You know, the father wants to be there, wants to spend time with their children. And when the children speak, the father listened. And so there is something that I want to bring today, that in the prayers, God invites us to a relationship, not a transaction. As I mentioned before, like in the past, when I come to prayer, I bring lists that they have done and the things that I want, because the way I see prayer is a little bit like transactions. And then, you know, I need to do this, I need to do that, and I will get my prayer answered. But that is not the way a father relates to their children, right? Oftentimes, children doesn't do anything. I mean, their poop stinks, they cry a lot, they wake me up at night. But when they have needs, you know, a heart of father who always care for their children. And another thing about a relationship is, just with any other relationship, it's important to spend time together, right? You can't build intimacy if you never talk, if you never spend time together. So the thing about prayer is, I hope that, you know, when you go from here and we start, okay, I want to grow in my prayers, I want to learn more, is don't forget that the most important thing is that you do it. It's not just like, oh, what's the right method, what's the correct orders, and then, you know, just learning and learning, but never do it. Sometimes we fall into this trap that, oh yeah, I need to do this first and then to do that before we come to prayers. But I think if it's a relationship, then, you know, just spend time together. And sometimes it's a short, sometimes it's longer, sometimes you know, you come and then you're like, oh, I really don't have anything to say, or I'm really tired today. And you can just tell that to God. The most important thing is that we show up. We show up in a relationship, and that's how you can, you know, build your relationship and intimacy. And it's communication, no surprise, right? With any relationship, it's the communication, it's the refilling of yourself and the learning of other self that build connections. I mean, if you remember maybe the first time you met your spouse, the first time you met your best friends, there is this sometimes an awkward silence or awkward conversations, right? Like, what should I talk about next? Maybe I should talk about sports. Maybe I should talk about Korean drama. I mean, I'm not sure what I should talk about, because, you know, I don't know what the other person like. I don't know what the other person dislike. I don't know what kind of topic conversation that I can bring so that we can have conversations. And the same thing with prayers. You're deluding yourself if you want to grow in prayers, but you don't want to learn more about God. Let me just be straight. If you don't want to read what God has said, what God has done, if you don't want to know who God is, don't expect that your prayers can be like an intimate conversation with God. Because you need to know the other person before you can speak freely. And the same, the other way around is true. You know, to build intimacy, it's important that you reveal who you are, because otherwise your conversation will, you know, stay in the surface level, right? Like when you meet a new person, maybe you'll talk about the weather. I guess that's my favorite topic when I meet with my coworkers on the way. Like, oh, it's a nice weather. Good. In SF, it's usually foggy. It's windy. Oh, today is more windy than the usual, you know, or like other things. Like, oh, have you seen that new movie? Blah, blah, blah. When you don't really know the person in a deeper level, that's all you talk about. I mean, because you don't really know what's inside the heart of that person. So it's both ways, right? We need to be willing to learn about who God is, and at the same time to reveal who we are. I mean, it's not that God doesn't know, but that's in the act of revealing yourself that you build that intimacy in the relationship. And the last thing, my last topic, is about the Father. Right, so what kind of father, what kind of God that we believe? Is God the one that just passive and just sitting there and then waiting for people to come to him? Or is it the other way around? And as far as I study the Bible, it's always the other way around. Stories after stories, it's always about God calling out to people. God called Moses, God called Abraham, God calls David. Jesus calls the disciples. Jesus calls and meet the tax collectors. It's always God calling people to him, to join him, to go for his mission. And perhaps this illustration, let's see if we can play it, can get my point across. There's no audio. So, in the video, you can see that, yes, Carl is coming to me, right? But at the same time, it's because I've been calling him. I've been, Carl, Carl, Carl. And then he noticed that I'm there, and he comes running towards me. And I want to get this point across that I think it's the same thing with prayer. Oftentimes, we think that prayer is our work of reaching out to God. It's like we're trying to reach God. Hello, God, are you there, God? And then you try to perform better. You try to do harder things. Oh, maybe I need to shout louder. Oh, maybe I need to, no, maybe I need to speak slowly. Oh, maybe I need to do this, to do that, so that God is present and listening. But I think it's, God is already there. I mean, the fact that we want to pray, the fact that we want to pursue Him is because God, in His grace, has been calling out to us. You know, we often forget after we are saved that God doesn't leave us to ourselves. God doesn't just say, hey, okay, now you believe in me, you know, be a better person, do it yourself. I think God is as a good father. He's leading us and He's always calling us and inviting us to that relationship. And so I want to see prayers as a cooperative, as a combined works of ourselves and God. But it's always God who initiates and we respond. And so in understanding that, it gives me a stronger faith in believing that God is there in my prayers, whether my sense, whether I can feel it or not, but I know by faith that God is there with me. And isn't the psalmist has said that, in the Psalms, you will see, where shall my soul go? Even if I go up to the sky, you are there. Even if I go down to the depth of Sheol, you are there. Where shall my soul flee from your presence, Lord? And doesn't Jesus himself say that I will never leave you nor forsake you? But oftentimes we are so worried in our prayers, thinking, oh God, are you listening? Are you being present with me in my prayers? Do you care about me? And I think in understanding that prayers is God's initiative, we know that God is already there waiting for us. And we don't have to try to work so hard to play games and do this method and that method and trying to, oh, maybe if I do this, my prayer will be more powerful. If I do that, my prayers will be different. But I think fundamentally, when we come to prayers, we just come with all our hearts and our soul and just, God, here I am. And here is my situation, and this is my prayers. Because by faith, we believe that God is working in us and for us. It doesn't matter what we feel. By faith, we know God is always working in us. Amen. And I welcome the musician to come up. So, to summarize, can I get the last pictures? So to summarize, I just want to show you this painting. This is, some of you might know because I've shown this before, it's a painting by Rembrandt. This is the painting of the prodigal sons. You know, this younger son who asked for money from his father and then spent it all, and then in his poverty, he decided, oh, maybe I can come back to my father and become one of his worker. I know I've sinned greatly, but yeah, I think it's better than eating pig's food. So if you, that is kind of the story. And then when that son walked back, you know, the father is there running towards him and embracing him. And I think there is an attitude of prayers that I want every one of us to have. Right? When we come to prayers, we acknowledge before God our poverty. We acknowledge before God that we are, you know, we are nothing without Him. And at the same time, to have that confidence that God is a good Father that will embrace us no matter how messed up we are, no matter how difficult our lives are, that God is ready to restore us and to heal us. And so when you come to prayer, just burn this image and remember that God is there for you. When you bring your whole heart, you bring your whole self to Him. Amen. Let's just close our eyes and pray. God, You are a good Father. Holy is Your name. Your mercy endures forever, God. Your kindness is never ending. And God, You've shown how much You love us by sending Your one and only Son to die for us, that we can be Your children, Lord, that we can have life, eternity. God, here we are coming in our humility before You to ask You, Lord, to teach us how to grow in our prayer life, to know You deeper in our prayers, to bring Your power down in our prayers. Because we know, Lord, prayers is so powerful. Because You move in our prayers, Lord. And help us to see, Lord, for who You are in our prayers. That You are not just a genie in a bottle that will grant our wish. You are not a judge that just comes to condemn us. But God, You are a good Father. You are a loving Father. And God, may we come to You like little children, running freely, trusting in You, believing in You, that everything will be all right. Because You are our God. Because You are our Father. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.